Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, from the Washington Post, President Donald Trump escalates baseless attack on election with a 46-minute video rant. He claimed without evidence that the nation's election system was, quote, under coordinated assault and siege, and that it was statistically impossible for him to have lost to President elect Joe Biden. Meanwhile, he's said to be livid at Attorney General Barr, with one official suggesting termination is possible. I believe you used the word fire yesterday.
Yes, David. Yesterday, I did mention the possibility, knowing Trump and knowing his history, that he would fire Barr. I don't think that's a terrible piece of news for Barr, because as we tried to say yesterday, this guy may be trying to shine up his resume after his disgraceful support of Trump all along. Nevertheless, he may fire Barr and put himself even further down on the list of unfortunate people who have gone down in history and have been labeled, like King George III, as madmen, because I do believe that's what people are beginning to say. Now, he has one potential salvation here, and that is going to the Supreme Court of the United States, who he figures, in his concept of how loyalty works, owe him, because he's put so many of them there. What that means, of course, is that he's counting on that loyalty. He wants them to say, okay, you're the president, then we're going to overrule the American electorate. I think it's very unlikely that even those people are going to do what he wants them to. That, of course, leaves him with nothing. There is an increasing speculation that he's out of there and that President Biden will be inaugurated on the 20th of January and the country will move forward. Biden is playing it very smart. He's going ahead and doing his appointments. He's rolling them out every day. He's acting presidential. He has plans for the environment. He has plans for the COVID. In the meantime, the COVID news could not be worse. And frankly, there are an awful lot of us who lay that pretty much at the president's door, who said to the nation, 5, maybe 15 cases. Well, now we have the worst pandemic that this country has ever seen. We have more deaths per day than anybody could have ever imagined. And each of those people have people who are not sitting at the dining room table, who are beloved, their mothers, their fathers, their children, as a result of what this guy did. And still he got 70 million votes, or 72 million votes. And that, of course, is pretty frustrating for the people who think they know what's going on. David, the President of the United States is a very powerful position. And I think one thing we're going to have to look at in a Biden administration is whether we can mitigate any of what we used to think were just norms, but which have been broken by this president. That's something we have to consider.
Now let's go to the president-elect, Joe Biden, who spoke with the New York Times opinion columnist Thomas Friedman on Tuesday night. Very interesting column in the paper today. The president-elect's top priority is getting a generous stimulus package through Congress even before he takes office, he says. The generous stimulus package will actually generate economic growth without long-term fiscal harm in the future. Quote, everybody pays their fair share, for God's sake, he insisted. And by that fair share, I mean there's no reason why the top tax rate shouldn't be 39.6%, which it was in the beginning of the Bush administration. There's no reason why 91 Fortune 500 companies should be paying zero in taxes.
Well, it's something that is going to prove to be music to many people's ears, because there is no good reason that major corporations, and we have a couple of them in our area and have had them, shouldn't pay their fair share. But so far, we have a Republican president who says no. And up until now, it has been no. Now, I think Biden has shown some real genius here in the way that he's doing this. He's saying we have to move forward now with a stimulus package. Usually, president-elect wait until they take office, but he can't. I mean, the country is in such bad shape right now. The economy is tanking because of this virus. It's not that the stock market isn't doing well. It's that everybody else isn't doing well. People who have to put food on the table and the people who are running things, including Mitch McConnell, don't seem to give a damn. The only way out of that is for Biden to take a hand now, and he's doing that. He's saying, this is what I would recommend. You got to give him a lot of credit.
And once again, it points the arrow right at Georgia, doesn't it?
It does. There's going to be a debate tonight between two of the candidates, and it'll be interesting watching. But Georgia is a Republican state, and we know from this election that the folks in Georgia said, no, we don't want Trump anymore. He's too, you know, off the rail. But Georgia and every other state which has been in the Republican column have shown that they are still willing to elect Republicans, not the president, but other Republicans. I'm saying it's a long shot. We know that Trump is coming to Georgia. Biden may come to Georgia. This is a crisis of Trump's making, David. Think about it for a second. He's the guy who say it was a rigged election. Well, a lot of Georgians believe them, and they're saying now, well, if it's a rigged election, why should we go out and vote since it's already rigged? Now, Trump has to go back to Georgia and claim that it's important that everybody vote. How do you vote if it's a rigged election? I would say, David, it's still the Republicans to lose. The Republican state, I think it would be extraordinary, just extraordinary, if those two seats didn't go to the Republicans. And a lot of people are sending money. A lot of people from the North and other places are sending money and saying, we want to support the Democratic candidates.
So let's say the Republicans win, and you have that block, and then you have 72 million people who voted for President Donald Trump. And Biden commented on that at the end of his interview with Friedman. He said, quote, 72 million people is a lot of people to vote for. But maybe, just maybe, when Trump is gone from the immediate scene, I'm not so sure the ugliness stays. There may be 20% of it, 25% of it, I don't know. We've got to figure out how to work together, otherwise we're in real trouble.
Well, that's what his trademark is. He's a conciliator. He's a guy who tries to bring people together. He's been doing that from the very beginning, and it's very intelligent. On the other hand, he can't give up his principles, and he has a Democratic left, which is going to be pushing and pushing and pushing him. So, put it this way, I wouldn't want to be him.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, thank you, sir.
And thank you.